Hello and welcome to episode number 53 of the Lunch Table Talk podcast. Once again, before I begin this episode, I want to say sorry for not posting for a while. I just been kind of sick, kind of not sick. Just been super congested. Talking is fine. It just doesn't sound normal like it normally would. It sucks because I have like 7 episodes already finished and done. Notes are all finished. Stats are done. I just gotta sit down and record them all. But for the past while, I haven't been able to do it. And for the first time in like 3 weeks, I've been talking a little somewhat normally now. And my nose isn't on fire. So looking up for now. Starting off this August, I'm going to give you my proposal for the PGA Tour All-Star break. Now, this was an idea I had on my own. There hasn't really been any other proposals for a PGA All-Star break, at least not recently, that I have heard of. But I definitely do think that this would be a lot of fun. Golf is finally getting some more personality, whether that's coming from Instagram or just from Bryson Brooks, all that kind of stuff. More guys chatting online, stuff like that. But I definitely think, thanks to COVID, honestly, if there's anything that good came out of COVID, it definitely was the game of golf growing quite a bit. When we were in lockdown, there were very few things that we could do, get out of the house and do, and that made many, many people pick up the game of golf. And they figured out you could play it pretty cheaply, or somewhat cheaply, I guess you could say. At least renting somewhat cheaply. It's hard to stay on the golfing path for a while for a low price, but especially if you want to play some higher-end courses. Don't recommend that if you're just starting, but definitely, thanks to COVID, if there was anything good coming out of COVID, it definitely was the game of golf growing. So we have that to look forward to. And I think that this All-Star Break proposal will improve that even more. So for this All-Star Break, there would not be a PGA Tour event during this week. I was thinking that maybe there shouldn't be a European Tour event during this week as well. But that would complicate things with the points and everything that they'll be getting if they compete in some of these events. So we'll have to see. Let me know what you guys think, if there should be a European Tour event. I know that they're not rival tours, you know what I'm saying, but they definitely compete with each other between the FedEx Cup race and the race to Dubai. So it would be interesting to see. I just feel like a lot of the PGA Tour players would go over and play in Europe and choose not to compete in this. So let me know what you guys think. But if the players just aren't going to compete in this, why have it in the first place? Again, just a proposal. Don't see this happening anytime soon. So there would be 14 All-Stars in total. All-Stars would be chosen by either fan voting, FedEx Cup standings, World Golf Rankings, or maybe a combination of all three. Let me know what you guys think would be the best option for that. So there would be a match, which I'll get to later, but there's also going to be some prerequisite events. The NBA has the dunk contest, three-point contest. The NFL has, or the MLB has, the Home Run Derby and the celebrity softball game. The NHL has their skills challenge and all that. And the NFL has, they have the dodgeball tournament and some other fun games for the guys to enjoy while they have their break. So this is what I would have for the prerequisite events for the PGA Tour, and just some baseline things here. You do not have to be selected as an All-Star to compete in these events, but All-Stars may compete if they wish, and they will have first dibs on that. Players may compete in more than one event in the All-Star break. Winners of the prerequisite events will receive $5,000 cash, but will not receive any FedEx Cup points. So, as for the competitions, Number one, I have a longest drive competition, which would consist of 8 competitors. Each player would receive 5 golf balls from the brand of their choice and try and get the longest drive. The drive must stay within a 35-yard grid. Plus, the yardage of the 5 drives would not be cumulative, so your longest drive is the one that the others have to be. Say someone hits it 345, and that's their only score. Someone can't just hit 200-yard 4-irons and beat that player, okay? So it's just longest drive, one shot, that's all you get. And that's going to do it. Driver must be legal by PGA standards also. Players I would like to see in this event: Cameron Champ, Bryson DeChambeau, and Wilco Ninibar. I think he's, where is he from, man? I want to say Russia, Germany, somewhere in there. Do not know, but very promising long driver there. I want to say either Southeast Asia or Europe. I can't say. So those are 3 guys I could see in the longest drive competition. Next up, Iron Accuracy Challenge. This competition would be with 6 competitors. Players would be given an increasingly longer distance to try and hit the ball as close as they can to that target distance. The yards I picked out were 100 yards, 150 yards, 175 yards, 200 yards, 215 yards, and 230 yards. Yardage would be taken from the players on the fly distance, not their total distance, so role would not play a factor in this. How far in yards the player is from the specified distance would be how many points they receive, i.e. player hits at 147 on the 150 yard shot, they would receive 3 points. Lowest score wins. This could either be a knockout challenge where highest points is eliminated, or everyone could just play it out and play all 6 yardages. Let me know what you think the best option would be. I did put 6 competitors in for that reason, so that there could be a knockout challenge or everyone could play it out. In my opinion, I would like everybody to play it out. I think it'd be a little more interesting. 3 players I could see in this event: Corey Connors, Daniel Berger, and Colin Morikawa. So now for the up and down competition, there would be 4 competitors for this. Each player would be presented with a place to get up and down from. Not sure who would be the selector of those. Maybe a PGA legend, or maybe one of the announcers like Jim Nantz or something like that. First shot must be no closer than the fringe and not exceed 75 yards in length. Obviously, since it is an up and down competition, there will only be 2 strokes allowed. But if your first shot does end up on the fringe, say, you may play that out, and if it does go in, you will count. That point will count for that. Players with the most, quote, up and downs after 5 locations will be the winner. Playoff would just be up and down until one player beats the other one. And players I could see in this event: Phil Mickelson, you can't really have an up and down competition without him, Tony Finau, and Jordan Spieth. As for putting, this was kind of hard to do. I know putting isn't really I wouldn't say it's not fun, but it's everyone's least favorite thing to practice. And it's kind of difficult to make putting into a fun challenge. So for this putting competition, there will be 6 competitors, 5 putts from on the green, all different locations and distances, obviously. One would be from the fringe, and one would be from just off the fringe. Made putt is 10 points, within 1 foot is 5 points, within 3 feet is 3 points, and within 5 feet is 1 point. Everything exceeding 5 feet in length, 0 points. Order would continuously rotate, so one player doesn't get to see the line of each putt 5 times and get an unfair advantage. Most points at the end of 7 putts is the winner. And players I could see in this event would be Louis Oosthuizen, Patrick Reed, and JT Poston. So those are the prerequisite events that would be held on a Saturday afternoon. As for the real match that I mentioned in the beginning, this would be happening on a Sunday afternoon, similar to a final round in a regular PGA event. Like I said, there will be 14 All-Stars in total. The All-Stars would be chosen by a number of different things, whether that's FedEx Cup standings, fan voting, or WGR, or even a combination of all three. There will be two captains, whether those are the top two vote-getters from the fan voting, top two in FedEx Cup, or top two in OWGR, blah, 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 combination, there would be six other competitors on each team, obviously. Six times two plus two times two, 14 All-Stars. It would be a schoolyard pick. And the player with that was chosen as the first captain would get the first overall pick. So, just some things here. There will be no maximum on how many golfers can come from a certain country. So if it happens to be 11 United States players and one South Korean, so be it. There would be 18 hole, it would be an 18 hole match at the course of the All-Stars choice. Course cannot be a course that a major is being held at that season. If your team wins, this is kind of where it gets a little interesting. If your team wins, you get 100 FedEx Cup points and $150,000 no matter what. Captains get the same amount of FedEx Cup points, but will receive $250,000 instead of $150,000. If your team wins and you win your 1v1 match, you get an additional 50 FedEx Cup points and $75,000. If your team loses but you win your 1v1 match, you get 50 FedEx Cup points and $50,000. So the most a player could win in this would be 150 FedEx Cup points and $325,000, not including the possibility of money being earned in the events the day before. This would be a match play format, by the way. So just for example, these are the All-Stars that I would have for this season. I'm basing this off of the most recent tournament. This week's tournament is not completed yet. At the top of the leaderboard is Harris English, Bryson, Abraham Answer. So we'll take a look at what I think the teams would be for this season's All-Star break. I'll be back in a moment. All right, I'm back and I have the teams figured out for this 2020-2021 season. For the two captains, I have Jon Rahm and Louis Oosthuizen. I just think they've been the two best on tour this season, and I think it's hard to disagree with that. So I did kind of like a fake mock, and I do these are the All-Stars that I would have picked based on their performance this season and how they've done in tournaments past in the season. So for Team Rom, I have obviously Jon Rahm, I have Bryson DeChambeau, Colin Morikawa, Patrick Cantlay, Cameron Smith, Harris English, and Abraham Answer. Solid squad, all around pretty good. They got Bryson's driving, Rahm's driving, they got Colin's iron play, they got Cameron's putting, Harris English is all around, Cantlay's putting, Answer's all around, so pretty good there. As for Team Louis Oosthuizen, I have obviously Louis Oosthuizen, Jordan Spieth, Xander Schauffele, Brooks Koepka, Daniel Berger, Scottie Scheffler, and Jason Kokrak. They have Louis's putting, Jordan's driving, and basically all around. Xander's all around, Brooks is driving, Berger's green play or green side play, Scheffler's all around, and Kokrak's all around. So pretty good, pretty even teams, but I do think Jon Rahm's team will come out on top. You can decide what who's going to play on the 1v1s. I would like to see Rahm play Oosthuizen. I think that's going to be the only mandatory rule for the match play format, that the captains do have to play each other, but everyone else can decide who they want to play, or it can be the captain's choice. Still very much up in the air, still very much a just a fun idea that I had, and I think that would be interesting. you're getting FedEx Cup points, you're getting some extra cash. So I think it'll be a lot of fun. Let me know what you guys think. I know it was a pretty short episode, but I did have a lot of fun making this proposal. Get this out there somehow. Share with friends. Make sure they know about this episode and about this podcast. That is going to end today's episode off. Let me know who your all-stars would have been this season. Remember, 14. Or just let me know the captains. I think Louis and Rahm are pretty even on the captains. For the captain standpoint, I could see Collins swinging in there after his incredible performance at this last major. So, again, that's going to do it for today's episode. Be sure to follow me on Instagram at lunchtabletalk_on Instagram. Hope you did enjoy today's episode. I think the next episode is probably going to be something football related. Our first football related podcast since my first episode of These Guys Are Good. And my first real football episode since the draft. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really excited for this upcoming season. Going to do some fantasy stuff for sure. And definitely some more PGA stuff coming soon when the playoffs begin. So once again, for the last time, hope you did enjoy this episode. Be sure to share, subscribe, leave 5 stars, all that fun stuff. Follow me on Instagram and look out for the next episode. Have a good one.